Psalm 119, verse 137 to 144. These are God's words. Righteous are you, O Yahweh, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This praise is very personal. That's underlined in verse 137 when he says, righteous are you, O Yahweh. There's a way of doing that in Hebrew, which would just be a one-letter suffix on a word. But here, an entire word for you is used. So emphasizing that he is personally addressing the Lord. And this is instructive to us by the Holy Spirit. There's a way of singing and praying in which we use the second person out of habit in form and style. But then there is the personal addressing of yourself to God, that you cry out to him personally. And that is part of what is modeled here. And it's the connection between the Lord, who is righteous, in verse 137, and then, of course, his judgments and his word are also going to be righteous. The testimonies, the judgments are upright in second part of 137. The testimonies are righteous and faithful in verse 138. The word is pure in verse 140. The testimonies are righteous in verse 144. And so it's because the Lord is upright and righteous and faithful and pure and righteous, again, verse 144. It's because the Lord is all of these things that his word is all of these things. It's not just that we know that the word is going to be accurate and say what's correct. That's true because it's the Lord's word, and he cannot lie. You know, the apostle wants to emphasize something. He says, God, who cannot lie, said this. But his word, of course, is also the way that he communicates himself to us, which we were thinking just this week in the Children's Catechism, when we were thinking, what does hallowed be thy name teach us? And we were thinking about the word name there, and God's communicating himself to us and his word as the special way in which he communicates himself to us. Therefore, we love his word, not only the words on the page and their usefulness to us, the word as a means of grace that is useful to and used by God as he works in us, but the word itself in our interaction with the Lord. And this is why he loves the word, verse 140, and delights in the commandments, verse 143, because he's loving the word with the love that he has for God. And he delights in God's commandments with the delight that he has in God. This is one of the things that should trouble us when the word can kind of leave us unmoved. We come to it, we read it, our mind wanders, we sit under preaching, and we're not stirred up in our affections towards God. It should trouble us that there's a breakdown somewhere. We're not understanding or realizing, grasping that God is communicating himself to us, interacting with us that he's making himself known by means of his word, or maybe we know that, but we just don't have the delight in his character that we should, the delight in him himself that we should, and so we are not loving the word out of love for him, or delighting in his commandments, delighting in his word out of our delight in him. And so the Lord gives us songs like this and prayers like this in his word. And he even uses that word to change us, to work on us. Now, if we come to love the Lord and to delight in him in the same way that the Lord loves himself, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit dwelling in all love and fellowship and adoration and enjoyment of one another from all eternity, then we are going to imitate God in the jealousy that he has for himself. When he says, I, Yahweh your God, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but showing mercy, showing steadfast love, covenant love, to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. We learn from there that genuine love is going to have jealousy whenever there are those who hate the one that is the object of your love, or whenever there is something that threatens the love that is between you and your object. So if there was some threat against mom, my zeal, my jealousy in behalf of her would be stirred up against whatever threatened her. Or if there was anything that threatened the bond that is between me and mom, it would be wrong for me not to be jealous, not to want to get to the bottom and eliminate the threat to that. Just so, as long as there is evil, as long as there is any despising of God and his glory, as long as there is, in this case, despising of God's words, in which God communicates himself, love for God and love for his word will also produce jealousy, which is the word that is behind verse 139, and it says, my zeal has consumed me. It's the same word there as in Exodus 20, verse 5. And why has the psalmist's zeal or jealousy, love for God, and this right response of his love for God consumed him? Verse 139 says, because my enemies have forgotten your words. There are a lot of things that his enemies have done to him. They are his enemies. But the thing that has stirred up his zeal is not what his enemies have done to him, but what his enemies have done to God and his word. They have forgotten your words. And so this is perhaps a helpful test for us when we are thinking about loving God, and do I love him, and asking him to increase our love for him. Am I jealous and zealous and fervent that his word would be honored? And you can borrow from the last section, verse 136, do rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep his law? Or now verse 139, does our zeal consume us because our enemies have forgotten his words? It's a wonderful thing to belong to this eternal God who is righteous in himself. And it is, of course, his own righteousness then with which his testimonies are righteous, verse 144. So that even as the eternal God is righteous, so also the righteousness of his testimonies is everlasting. We need him. We need him to give us understanding. We are unable to get it apart from his sovereign work. So even if we have the Bible is still just a means. Look at verse 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. And then he asks God to use those testimonies. So he has the testimonies, but he still needs God to use those testimonies. God's word is a communication of himself, but we must depend upon him to use those words as he communicates himself to us, because we need understanding, we need life, we need light, and he is the one who will give it to us. So let us love and delight in our God, and especially in his righteousness, as that is the main attribute of God and of his word that he highlights to us here. So let us love and delight in God and his righteousness. And then, since his word is a way that he communicates himself to us, let's love and delight in his word as well, employing it in dependence upon him to give us understanding so that we may get life from it. Let's pray. We thank you, our gracious God, for creating us for yourself and redeeming us for yourself by giving yourself for us and to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that even as you have done so in that glorious and personal way in the accomplishing of redemption, and then also by your Spirit whom you have given to apply Christ to us in the application of redemption, we thank you that you also communicate yourself to us, give yourself to us by means of your word. Make us to love you, make us to delight in you, and make us to love and delight that word by which you communicate yourself to us. Fill us with zeal that is jealous when your word is forgotten or despised. Give us understanding that we may live by your life in us, by your Spirit's work, we in Christ, through whom also we ask it. Amen.